I don't know if there's ever a point that you get to that handling the Word of God don't tire you up. It does me. Always nervous. I'm stressed out beforehand, and then I'm stressed out afterhand. You stress out beforehand on how you're going to do it, and you stress out afterwards on what you done, and did you? You just have to do it to know. But this is my life. This is me. I've been a lot of things. In my life, and but this is me. This is what I am. I can't do. I hear people say they can't do life without their mate, their other. And don't get me wrong. But this right here is me.
Amen.
So as hard as it is, you keep trying. And you want to help somebody. And you want God to receive honor and glory from your efforts. This time of year, we always read a lot of stuff to do with our Savior. And it's all about our Savior.
Amen.
But I got a thought upon my heart, the Prince of Peace.
Amen.
And we'll take a reading lesson, then we'll briefly look at Prince just a little bit, how our Lord was considered priest. He was considered king. He was considered governor. You say, well, how is he considered all these things? He's everything. If it's good, it's him. If it could be used for good, it's him. But I want to take very familiar reading out of Luke chapter 2. Like I said, these scriptures are read a whole lot this time of year. It came to pass in those days that it went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be taxed, and that the taxing was first to be made, and Cyrenius was the governor of Syria. And all went out to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph went up unto Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judah, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the lineage of David, and to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they was there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in a swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, an angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings and great joy, which shall be unto all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ of the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, that ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there were the angels, a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see the thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And with the mistakes we made, that's reading into the second chapter of Luke, from the first chapter, first verse down to the 15th verse, and our thought coming in the 14th verse, in which we'll go take for a text, or our actual, I guess, the thought, but their thought began in this 14th verse. "The glory to God in the highest and on earth peace and goodwill towards men. And there's never been complete peace here on this earth. You'll never find a complete peace in this world. But Jesus Christ was the peace that was here, that come upon earth. And I want to look at today about him being the Prince of Peace. And we find our thought come for a text over, once again, to do with Jesus being born. In Isaiah chapter 9 and 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and to the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." And so I will briefly look at in a second about him being called the Prince. You can find that in the third chapter of Acts, after Peter and them had went up to pray at the gate, which is called Beautiful, the one that was laying there. The Lord had healed him, and that's what Peter went on to tell them. He rebuked them because they began to look upon Peter and them as if they'd done something. Peter and them let them know that he didn't do nothing. We'll go over and read that in a second. But oftentimes we talk about how he either calms the storm, he can bring peace to the storm, and we find that in different places in the scriptures where he just spoke to the storm and there was peace come about. And he can do that. He can bring peace to the storm that's going on in your life. But sometimes he just simply brings peace to you. He lets the storm continue on, but he lets you find peace in the middle of that storm. And there are so many times that's happened to me, and it happened to me again this week. Here a while back, it's been a couple of weeks ago, and we'll get to that here in a little while, but me and my wife was going down the road, and she was talking about some of the things that we was going through at the time. And it's been tough lately. The last few months, it's been a lot of things, not just all to do with church things, but a lot to do with church things, some to do with our churches in general, some to do with church here at Hilltop, with some of our members and things going on in their lives. But some, believe it or not, me and my wife have a life too. We have family, we have troubles too, and there's troubles and trials that come in our family, and there's things that happen that worry and burden us, and I try not to bring those things here to y'all because y'all have enough going on. I try to leave those things between me and her, but we was going down the road, and she was talking about some of the things going on then, and she said the Lord told her, he said, "I'll give you something to cry about," and anybody that's ever had a daddy or is a daddy now, I have said those words. I remember as a child, I'd want to do something, and daddy'd say, "You can't go, you can't do this," and I'd begin to cry, and he'd say, "You better hush, I'll give you something to cry about." So I thought about that the other day when a lot of the things was coming to me, and I'm going to preach on that someday, but I that ain't where a thought is today. But honey, you better be clear, careful about you complaining and murmuring to the Father, because let me tell you something, he can give you something to cry about. But I thought about him being called Prince, and I want to go here now, and we'll briefly, because that ain't where our thought is, but I don't like just saying something without proving it. In Acts chapter 3, you'll find in verse 15, when Peter had rebuked them and told them it wasn't of their own power that they done these things, he went on and told them, he said, "And ye killed the Prince of Life, whom God have raised from the dead, wherefore we are witnesses." And then I'll just one more briefly in the fifth chapter, and that was talking about Jesus there, that they'd killed the Prince of Life, who God had risen from the dead. And then over here, when Peter and the other apostles had told them, "Who should we obey, man or God? Who should we put our trust in?" And he said to them after they said that, he said, "In whom God have exalted at his right hand to be the Prince and the Savior, for he give repentance to Israel and forgiveness unto us of sin. So we find here there's two places where Jesus was called Prince, but our thought is in peace, him being the Prince of Peace, and how he can help us. And I guess for all of us, if you've ever been saved, if you've never found true peace with God, the first true peace you'll ever know about is when you become saved. I want you to know the night I got saved, I was in trouble. I had trouble all about me. And when I called upon the name of the Lord, truly that's what I got, was peace with God. I didn't even recognize it so much because I was expecting more greater things. But that's what it was. It was peace with God. Romans chapter 5. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We realize that's the beginning of peace, or it was for me. But there's been so many times. If that's the last time you ever got peace, I feel sorry for you. Because there's been so many times since then that he has helped me. And he's given me peace when in the middle of things I didn't think I could see peace. I've stood with some of you at the bedside of your loved ones as you was watching them die. And I see peace upon your face and I think, Lord, how can they be there at this time? Why does I expect them to be torn out of pieces? But God give them peace in the middle of a storm. And I just think that's amazing. Sister Mary, that's sat right here. Y'all have heard me tell it over and over, but some of you ain't heard it. Now I want you to know this is what God can do. But I went down there. She was dying with cancer. She was laying on her deathbed. Within hours, she was going to be dead. And I went up there, and I prayed with that dear old sister. I knelt down beside her bed, right there in her laying right here. I knelt there, and I prayed. I raised up, and I was crying. And I leaned over her, and I kissed her on her forehead. And you know what that dear old sister said to me? She said, don't you cry over me. I want you to know peace on your deathbed. Peace, the Prince of Peace can come by and help you in the middle of the biggest storm that's ever been in your life. Who else and what else? You can take... Listen, there's nothing, if you got nerve problems, anxiety problems, there's nothing wrong with taking medicine with that. It ain't, some people tell you it is. It ain't no different than any other sickness. I want you to know the only true peace you're going to ever find is in God. Amen. There ain't no peace in a bottle. You could try to find it in the bottom of a bottle and drink all you want to drink and hit my head. I ain't going to tell you, you won't forget things for a little while. You will, but there won't never be no peace in it. It'll come right back. I want you to know you can take that pill and it'll help you for a little while. And I ain't here. I done told you I'm not one. I believe if you got to take a medicine, take it. But I want you to know when you truly find help and peace, it'll be through God. When you get to the place that you trust him to take care of your situation and trust him to a place that he gives you peace with it. When he gives you peace, you can take it to the bank. It's real. It'll help you. He can take things away. He can make you see things different. I want to go back over here. In Micah chapter 5, once again, we're going back.
That, I want you to get a hold of this today. We've talked about two places here where there's peace on earth. He said over there, the Prince of Peace. This is once again about talking about our Lord and Savior coming. Get a hold of this. Chapter 5 in Micah. I want to start reading into the second verse. It says, but thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me. That is, to be a ruler whose goings forth have been from of old and from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up until the time she which traveleth have brought forth. And then the raiment of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. And he shall stand and feel the strength of the Lord and the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide, for now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. And listen to what this says, and this man shall be the peace. I want you to know over and over when it's talking about his birth, he's going to come with peace. Now there had always, when a man got saved, there had always got peace with God. But honey, there was coming a time that the Prince of Peace was going to walk on earth. He is peace. If there's any peace, and if you get any peace, it's going to be through him. Over in Ephesians, and then we're going to move along. I just wanted to kind of cover a little of that stuff, just telling what he was. In Ephesians, I've read from these scriptures a whole lot through time. And Ephesians chapter 2, for he is our peace, who have made both one and have broken down the middle wall of the partition between us. And it says, for he is our peace. And I think about how then it's explained over and over that Jesus Christ, if you ever see any peace, it's going to come through him. And I want to go back over there. I do want to read that over in Philippians, because it says something there. And I try to preach on this back in our youth revival, and I don't know if everybody agreed with me. You don't have to agree with me on everything, but I want you to know something. He was talking to saved people right here, and he was talking about peace of God. And the peace of God, he said in the 7th verse, he said, that the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to understand something here today. When he saves your soul, you get peace. It's not that he don't want you to understand what peace is. I think we can understand when that peace comes. But where my point was in that, and it still is today, there's been so many times that I've not been able to understand how I got peace. You see what I'm saying here? I know this is looking at it just a little different, but just bear with me. Have you ever been in a situation where it was so much trouble? There's so much going on in your life. You've been so tore down. And then all of a sudden you pray to God. And peace comes in. And you just can't understand how this that passes all understanding. I can't get this. I can't figure out how I can have peace in this situation. Have you ever been there? I have. You may never have. The first time is when he saved my soul and I got peace that passes all understanding. How could that save me? How could that be what it is? I didn't understand it. I promise you I didn't, but it was good enough. I believe that. And there's been different times in my life when everything was falling apart. When me and my wife, when I didn't speak, there's no way. No way this is going to work out. I've laid a many a time we have in our bedroom. Our kids in yonder wondering, there was one year everything fell apart. It was this time of year. There was no hope, I'm telling you. I'd lost a big job. It just all gone. All the money was gone. Everything was gone. I didn't know how I was going to pay my light bill, much less buy my kids Christmas. And we was laying in there, and she laid her old head up on my shoulder. I had my arm wrapped around her, and she said, how are we going to make it? What are we going to do? And I looked at her, and I said, it'll be all right. But God had told me he would take care of it. He sent somebody along my way and helped us out. Right out of the blue, here somebody comes. I want you to have this. We was able to pay our light bill. We was able to buy our children some Christmas. I want you to know, you can say that man gave you the money. No, God gave us the money. Peace when I didn't think there's no way. Have you ever been there? When you didn't think things could ever be the same again. I left here last Sunday. I ain't going to say it was bad business, mate, but it wasn't the best thing I've ever been in. Left here worried, concerned. You say, Brother Jeff, worry ain't faith. Amen, I agree. Concerned about some of our members. Concerned about some of the situations. Then it didn't get no better. Things some things happened Sunday. I won't even get it. But it didn't get no better. Oh, I was tore all to pieces. But Sunday night, I didn't sleep hardly a week. I get up Monday morning. You want to quit. You just think, Lord, let me please quit. You kind of feel like Elijah. You ought to just sit down here under the old juniper tree and just say, Lord, I'm no better than my fathers. Take my life. Just take me on. I'm done. I can't go no further. Walked out to the Hallelujah shop and stayed out there a while and tried to pray, built my fire. Come back in, told my wife I hadn't been able to run a while, hurt my knee. I said, I just got to go walk, I got to do something. Walking and going back out of the field, it's a quarter mile back out of the field from my shop. I get this back almost to the field. I'm going through all these things in my mind. The storm's just raging. I'm praying, please, Lord. Please, Lord. And then those words come to me. I'll give you something to cry about. And then I begin to think, I still got my children. I still got my wife. I still got my grandbabies. My kids have been saved. My wife's saved. And I begin to thank him for the home I had at the church. I get the pastor and all the friends of God. And I begin to thank him. And the next thing, about the time I arrive at that field, don't even know I've got there, how I got there. Just peace. Oh, the Prince of Peace was walking beside me, carrying me along the way. I want to tell you, there's peace in Jesus Christ. He said, peace I give unto you, not as the world gives you. Honey, you'll never find peace in this world. Never. But he can give you a peace. You can ask Brother Barry. I talked to him a day or two later. I said, I'm fine now. And I was, and I still am. It may all fall to pieces. The ceiling may fall on my head. I may go home and the house gone. The dog dead. But he's still there. Right. I may lay on my death and curl up, and one of y'all may come and cry and pray over me, kiss me on the forehead, but peace will still be there. He's the Prince of Peace.
Amen.
He said, in this world you will find tribulation. But don't you worry. Don't let that concern you, because I've overcome the world. I don't know about y'all, but that means something
Amen.
To me. When you're walking around in your little pity party, Brother James, Ben, you've talked about him before, ain't we? Walking back through there in my big old pity party. And then he let me know how good he'd been to me. And it wasn't all the situations, it was me the whole time. Lord, forgive me. And then just the Prince of Peace shows up. Peace on earth. Goodwill to man. Well, I had a bunch of stuff I was going to cover in this. The fact is, don't be like your pastor. Don't get so tore up in everything. Go to seed on things. But everything, take to him in supplication. And let the peace of God that passeth all understanding ease you. I've stood with mamas at their babies castings before. And them talk to me standing there squalling. And them talk to me and have peace. I've never faced near the things some of y'all have. But someday I might. And when I do, y'all pray that I'll be able to find the peace that I've been able to talk about this morning. I found peace in this.
Amen.
In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Amen.
And He is the living Word. I've been so tore up before when you think, what are you going to do? And I go and sit down and I pick up this. And He'll guide me to the right place to read. There's peace with God. So whatever's going on in your life today, I say this stuff a lot, but I mean it because I don't know what all's going on in your life. There's some of you going through things I have no idea about. I go through things you don't have no idea about. Some of you, just like what I was talking about earlier, you don't know how you're going to buy Christmas for your children. Some of you might be somebody here today can't pay their light bill. It may be somebody here today, their marriage is falling apart. Looks like divorce is intimate. It doesn't don't look like there's no way around it. Or some of you that got a cancer. Somebody have lost your loved ones and you're fixing to have to face another Christmas without them sitting at the table, being there at the tree Christmas morning. I don't know all your situations, but I do know this. I know if you look to Him,
Amen.
I could take you to a place right back there somewhere between the house and that field where there's peace. I was like, Damon, I wanted to take a little of that dirt with me, brother. It ain't so much about where you're at or the position you're in. It's about who is the Prince of Peace. And when you get to where you ain't got nothing else to turn to, you'll do like me then. You'll turn to Him. And you'll find out, and you'll say over and over, I don't know about y'all, but I say over and over, why didn't I just go to Him to start with? Why am I walking back through here crying, bawling, squalling, blaming everything, and all I had to do was just stop a week ago, 2 months ago, yesterday, before I left the house, and to say, Lord, I'm sorry, I need You. I need to have peace with this. I need to know it's going to be okay. And then it comes. That don't happen the only time you get saved. You'll never get born again. No, sir, you won't. If you've been born again, honey, it's no way you can enter the second time in your mother's womb. But you'll find different times through life that you're going to need peace.
That's right.
And you say, well, I ain't to this point. Everything's good, preacher. I don't care how much money you got, how much of everything you've got, trouble's going to come. In this world, you'll find tribulation. It's going to come. It may not come in the way of what I've talked about today, but it's coming. But don't forget, they come. The peace walked on earth. He sits at the right hand of the throne of the Father, and He's still giving peace today. Go in peace. Ain't that what He told Naaman? That's what Elisha told him this morning. He said, go in peace. How many times did Jesus say that? Over and over. Go in peace. That's what He wants for you. To just be able to keep going in peace. You got a song, brother.